And now it's time for Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. And here they are, Nima V and Michael Dean.
This is Michael W. Dean. How you doing there, Nima V?
This is Nima Vidati, also known as Nima V. I'm doing very well today, Michael W. Dean. How are you?
You are. You sound so good lately. You sound like you have this life-changing experience, and you're really happy and fluffy and not cranky. I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
something,
man. Maybe I do. Something. And maybe you know what it is, and maybe we won't tell anybody. It's a secret.
It's a secret. The fiends have a lot of secrets from the fiends, but there are always secrets that will be revealed. More will be revealed at some point.
Yes, you just have to wait for the reveal.
And I just said the code word. Like, the people that know already know.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess it's good that they know if they know.
Yeah.
You know, because they're the ones that should know.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
So, we're testing our new system today of how we're going to do our radio show when we're on radio.
Radio. See?
Yeah. Basically, the way radio stations do it is they have this automation software that costs like $1,000 and you can't get it free. And you set up your whole radio show in it. You know, like, it's what LRN does to put the ads in at certain times and put the breaks in at certain times and the intro and outro music. And that's too expensive for the fiends, but the fiends are smart. So what the fiends did was we made files that have our intros in them and the tease out to the outro of the ads in each chunk, for each chunk, time to each chunk to the radio clock. And it's just playing in the background. It's just silence playing. It played the intro with the DJ, and in 9.5 minutes, it'll play the outro and we'll talk over it and then stop recording and then do the next part.
Exactly. So it does exactly what the automation would do. I mean, it requires a little more work on your part because you actually have to click a file. But other than that, man, it plays when we're coming in and it plays when we're going out. And what you did there, Michael, is you created wealth. You know, the liberals and the people who don't understand economics, they think wealth is just this one pie. And if you take something out, that's it. It's a zero-sum game. But now we don't have to spend $1,000 on some automation software or hardware because Michael spent some time and used some brain power to create something, to create wealth out of tools he already had.
Yep. Liberals would just say, well, we need to write a requisition form for this for our government-funded agency and steal the money to do
it. Oh, yeah. They would try to write a grant. Like, well, we need this and this and this. Please give it to us. Grant us this money, please.
Grant us, fairy wizard of the state. Yeah.
Right. I hate that the state and the statists love that word grant because it makes them the parents or the fathers, overlords, the Ubermenschen who get to grant you so that you can have this and it's just silly. But
my wicked stepmother,
I don't want any grants.
My wicked stepmother that I hated, who died, and you know, I'm never happy when people die, but I'm never happy when people die, but as Mark Twain said, I've read some obituaries with glee. That's what she did for a living, was she was a grant writer for government agencies. Makes sense. And I want to talk about status, but first I want to announce something that I think we are going to be history making when we get on radio, because I don't think anybody's gone from podcasting to radio syndication. A lot of people have gone the other way, and a lot of podcasters say, oh, I do podcasting because radio would be too confining. And, you know, that's kind of like independent bands who wish they could get signed, who can't and aren't good enough, and say things like, major labels are horrible. I'd never be on one. Like, yeah, okay, let's see how you say when they offer you a deal. But, you know.
Well, also, we're going to continue to do both, lots of good radio people, like Free Talk Live, who does both. Although, I guess they do a radio show and release it as a podcast.
Yeah, they're not really podcasters.
It's a great channel for distribution because honestly, I never turn the radio on unless I'm out of podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, DJ listens to, she used to listen to music on her commute, and I used to make her CDs for her commute in LA, which was between 45 minutes an hour and an hour and a half each way, depending on, you know, how many highways were closed down because of drive-by stabbings.
Right.
But
because we know how good the government is at building those roads, man.
Yeah.
That's why. You know, someone without the government, it would be a 3-hour commute.
Someone actually wrote me today. Christian Sanger wrote us and said this quote, like the Roman Empire, civilizations fall because they don't maintain their infrastructure. Everyone likes to build things, but nobody likes to maintain them. We paid for them once. Why should we pay for them again? And then he said, maybe the roads themselves will put an end to this pesky state.
Maybe. The roads will be your downfall.
I really like this thing in Fight Club where after they have their self-induced car crash and he's fading in and out of consciousness and talking to what's actually himself in the bedroom while he's recovering in the bed and the lights fading in and out. And he's talking about this post-apocalyptic world. He says, you'll look down from skyscrapers and you'll see people wearing loincloths, pounding venison and corn in the commuting lanes of what used to be superhighways. Kudzu vines will choke the Sears Tower. It's beautiful, man. It's fucking eerie. It's friggin' eerie.
It's poetic.
And it's poetic. Yeah.
But there's a bumper sticker going around town. I guess it's not a bumper sticker because people who use it don't drive cars, but it's a sticker that people slap all over the urban areas in Austin that says, "Imagine I-35 is a hike and bike trail." Which is basically the same concept. Imagine if it were just a trail.
I'd rather imagine I-35 is something spectacularly maintained by the free by the market that costs less and doesn't have taxes and works better.
Yes, that's what I want. But I also like the concept of it being, why does it have to be concrete? You know, when I think the first blog post I did on Freedom Fiends blog, I pointed to in the probability brooch, they don't have concrete roads. They have paths that are basically grass and they're, you know, somebody has to mow the lawn, but it's a lot cheaper than pouring new asphalt every 5 years and building concrete supports. And they have hovercrafts that that just eat up that grass and you can fly over it like it were a road, but doesn't have the big outlay and infrastructure cost.
Yep. So DJ listens to talk radio now on her commute because her commute is about 6 minutes here in Casper.
Yeah, right.
And there's not really enough time to like listen to a song or find a song. She just turns talk radio on and turns it off when she gets there. And it's often Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or Hannity. And she yells at them and then comes and tells me about it. And we use it for PodSource. Mind-blowing thing she told me yesterday is Rush Limbaugh has started using the word statist as a cuss word to call liberals.
Yes.
Now, why is this mind-blowing?
Calling the kettle black.
Yes,
man.
Yes. Now, don't be fattest. Don't be fattest.
Oh, I won't be a fattest. No.
You know, he is the pot calling the kettle black in every way. He calls for the war on drugs, yet he was addicted to drugs and taking them illegally, even though they were prescribed by a doctor. But you're not within the law if you're getting enough narcotics from one or more doctors to maintain a drug addiction.
Right, right.
And he is incredibly statist. He wants the government to do all sorts of things, and that is the definition of statism. But he has been using the term apparently on and off since 2009 to denigrate liberals who want the state government guns to be used for things he doesn't like birth control. And here's another thing. Take away any moral thing of the government stealing money to pay for birth control. Take away any pseudo-moral thing of people shouldn't use birth control because we interpret the Bible that way. In a purely economic standpoint and a purely getting voters, you know, kind of a strategic thing, Republicans should be incredibly in favor of tax money being spent on birth control pills in the inner cities. Because it's a lot cheaper to buy some teenage girl birth control pills than it is to pay for 18 years or more of welfare for her and the child.
Right. Yeah,
they should be totally into that.
In the paradigm, like you said, you have to take away the morality, but you also have to take away economic calculations that would be voluntary in the market, because that's the way it would work sans the state. Is the people who could afford birth control would afford birth control, and the people who couldn't would either have to fail to have sex or, I guess, figure out how to feed their babies or give their babies up.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to put things in two different lights for sake of argument with people. One is the moral standpoint, and one is the economic standpoint or the viability standpoint. And a lot of times the moral standpoint won't work with people because they won't buy that what you say of it's immoral to steal money for taxes and write nanny laws and tell people what to do. Right. Even small, so-called small government Republicans like Rush Limbaugh can't wrap their head around that, or their fans can't wrap their, his fans can't wrap their head around that. But if you tell them something in a, how this affects you, you might have a better chance. And then if they can see that, they can see the morality down the road.
Well, I guess their problem, though, is that they might have a different set of morals since they come from a different worldview. I mean, I would obviously argue that they're wrong. That's why I'm here talking. But, you know, in their moral estimation, it's immoral to buy the birth control because I guess they don't think people should have the birth control.
Yeah, I mean, but my dual-pointed argument works for everything. I mean, you can use it for voting. If you can't convince somebody that voting is immoral, which it is,
because you're convince them that it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah. And if, you know, if you try to convince somebody that the Constitution is immoral, and that's a really touchy subject with a lot of people that, you know, listen to the Fiends even, you can convince them, like, how's that working out for you? You know?
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. It if the Constitution works, why hasn't it worked?
Congress needs to go to Debtors Anonymous, and I think that Rush Limbaugh needs to go to Statist Anonymous.
Statist Anonymous. Yeah, all Congress needs to go to some kind of 12-step program, man. And they need to take a moral inventory and assess all the horrible evils they've done to everybody and also get rid of their because that's what statists do, right? They expect us to follow their asinine laws. And if we don't, they think it's a problem with us and they pursue us as if we're in the wrong when they're the ones who set up their own silly expectations that if I write it, it will be so. If I write that we can't have guns, that you can't sell guns, then all of a sudden there will be no guns. But they're delusional, man. They're delusional and they need help.
Tradition 11 of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and podcasts. I mean, well, I added that. They would have added that in 1935.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rush Limbaugh, statist, calling people statist. It's mind-blowing. And, you know, he's not the only one. And actually, he didn't start doing that. Someone else started doing that. And they say, I read an article about this called The Influence of Libertarianism on Mainstream Rhetoric. And I don't know that it's really an influence. I think it's a co-opting more, wouldn't you say?
I would think so, yeah. Yeah.
We'll have more when we come back.
Coming up soon.
Yeah. Worms.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe.
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Yo, Nima V.
Yo.
What's up?
Chillin', homie. Chillin'.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worms.
Speaking into this mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like mics. I go on, I look at mic porn. I look at pictures of microphones all night sometimes.
No homo?
Yeah. Last night I was searching podcast setup on Google Images and just looking at everyone's podcast setup. It's pretty neat. I like it.
Huh. All right. Cool. Yeah, I was going to change something in my setup today, but I ended up not doing it because it was too much trouble. So,
note to self, the music was faded out too quickly on that one, and I'll fix it.
It was a little loud, too. The only way you fix it is to calibrate it, and the only way to calibrate it is to hear what it's like now. So
that's why we're doing this before we get on radio. About 3 years, Rush Limbaugh is going to be begging to be on our show, and we'll be like, gladly, come on, and we can make fun of you.
Yeah, and we will make fun of him.
And call him statist.
He says statist, and he doesn't even know what it means. Well, hold on. Maybe we're wrong here. Does he say statist to describe himself? Is he like, well, I'm a statist, and I want the government to do this, 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 and this?
No, he uses it to describe liberals and the Obama administration. Yeah, but it was originally said on he got the term from Mark Levine, who said it when being interviewed on the Rush Limbaugh show. And Levine is a statist, total statist. And you know who else uses that term? Man. Jeb Bush uses that term, of all people.
The guy who is the very definition of status. The guy
who wants to be in the dynasty. He wants to, there's talk of him for Republican nominee for president in 2016.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I kind of feel like the Republicans have lost all their credibility. So whoever they front, especially I think if they front Jeb Bush, we're going to have like Hillary Clinton as the winner.
Or if they were smart and really wanted to have a chance to be elected, you know, 20 years from now, they should be totally supporting free birth control pills at taxpayer expense in the inner cities, because all those kids that are born because their mother wasn't using birth control are probably going to vote Democrat, because they're going to be growing up in an inner city entitlement, government gives you everything, statism, and they'll want more.
You're saying they should be more generous when they go to buy votes? That's all either side does, and the Republicans traditionally buy votes from the people who love war. But the Democrats are doing both now. That's why they're winning, because the Democrats are buying the votes of the warmongers and buying the votes of the inner city welfare moms.
Birth control pills would be a much cheaper way to buy votes, though. You just eliminate those people being born as voters for pennies a day.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I'm sounding like evil with this, but this is how politicians think, and this is how strategists think, and this is how, you know, I mean, Frank Luntz would probably agree with me. Let's call him and ask him.
All right, call him up. Okay, we can do a call out show.
Okay, but he's not home.
Here is the original exchange between Levine and Rush, where, according to this article on Capital Free Press, was the first time conservative talk radio used statist, at least according to him. Rush goes, "Who are these people?" And Levine, I think he has a really high-pitched nasally voice, so he goes, "These people are what I call the statist. They are not liberals, because liberal in the classical sense is the opposite of authoritarian, and I refuse to allow them to steal the language and use the language to attack us."
Yeah, he's talking about classical liberals, which is us, you and me, you know. Fiends.
Well,
fiends are classical liberals.
I think we're further than that. I don't like to look back on history necessarily and find somebody who, they're the closest thing to ANCAPs, because, you know, the classical liberals, they still envision some responsibility for the state. I mean, Thomas Jefferson said what? Government is is that which governs the least, you know, the best government. But it's not true, man. There should be no conceptualization of a state.
You know,
the least would be zero.
3 years ago, in my last bastions of statism, when I was writing the Right Arm of Wyoming CD, I made a prediction in a line in a song in there. It says, if you quote the founding fathers now, America was founded by guys who were really pissed, but if you quote the founding fathers now, you're called a terrorist. And that is really coming to fruition. I mean, in the Second Amendment debate, recently some people in Chicago in a town meeting said something like, the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's about preventing tyrannical government. And Alex Jones said that on TV on Pierce Butthole Morgan's show. And the liberal pundits are responding with that, with these people are terrorists. They want to shoot the government, which is not what they're saying. They're basically saying, you know, this is our line in the sand. Keep us off your property. You know, it maybe we'll shoot the government when it comes through our door illegally and unconstitutionally. But it's not
Gary
proactive.
Gary North wrote a great article about that, where he basically said, you know, it's not necessarily just what you said. It's not necessarily to go out and shoot the government now. It's the fact that if you have a government that can take your guns, it's already tyrannical. If the government has gotten to the point where it can decide who is armed and who is not, it's a tyrannical government. So that fight to keep the government from taking your guns is really what keeps the tyranny at bay.
Yeah. Yep. And they don't like us having guns, those people.
No.
Those statists. No.
They don't. And they're statist, and Rush is statist, and Levine is statist, and Hannity is statist, and Glenn Beck is statist, and I wish to God
Glenn Beck is a statist. Rush Limbaugh is a statist.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Glenn Beck is saying, I'm more and more libertarian every day, but he's not, man. I wish that Rush and Levine and Beck were using statist and were actually being honest with themselves and with people, and maybe were making a change.
I wish they would quit tainting the word libertarianism. I mean, this article in the Free Capital Press about them using the word statist is called The Influence of Libertarianism on Mainstream Republican Rhetoric. I guess it is an influence on the rhetoric, but it's not an influence on mainstream Republicanism.
Thought, yeah.
Yeah, it's they co-opt the words when it's an election season. You know, Michelle Bachmann says, yes, I like to read Mises naked and rub myself but on the beach. But, you know, she's never read Mises. Somebody told her that, you know, some advisor. Frank Luntz told her to say that, probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about the I lost my guns in a voting accident. I really liked Ron Paul's statement on that. He was on Alex Jones the other day, and Alex Jones said, are you going to give up your semi-automatic guns when they come for them? And Ron Paul said, well, I don't even know if I have anything that would qualify under that situation. But, and then he went on to talk about how taking the guns is going to cause World War or American Revolution II. Which was considered incredibly incendiary, but it's, you know, it's fact and it's based on history. But I really liked Ron Paul's answer. Like, I don't know. I don't think I have anything that would be needed to be taken away. I'll bet he does.
I lost them all in a voting accident.
He lost them in a voting accident when people didn't vote for me to set you free. He's the only politician America's ever had, or I think probably the only politician anywhere who's ever been almost completely ethical. As ethical as can be within the constraints of what he's given.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I suppose I certainly don't know of anybody else like that. And, you know, it's important to also note that he's a human being like all of us. And so he's on a journey as well. So the people say, well, he's just bad because, you know, he's a statist and he's in the government and he's doing this and that. Well, hey, he quit. He got out of the government. You know, he's evolving. Just as we all are continually evolving. And we'll talk more about Ron Paul and some things he said in our next segment after we sell some things.
The state and the statists who love it are freedom fiends. Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio.
Yo, Freedom Fiends, what's up, Nima Vidati?
Yo, I'm chilling.
This is Michael Dean. This is Michael Dean. Yeah. I'm Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Tell us what you're really thinking.
For real, though. All right. Well, okay. So what did we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about Ron Paul and his tweet, or is that been talked to?
Yeah, no.
Kind of like off the radar.
No, that's okay. A few days. Basically, there's this guy named, what's the name of the American sniper?
Chris Kyle, who wrote a book. He was very celebrated in the let's kill everybody kind of community. His name is Chris Kyle. He wrote a book. Let's see, what was his book called?
American Sniper.
American Sniper, yes. The autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history.
He's basically really good at killing brown people from really far away with a rifle. He was basically a rifleman, which America used to be full of. And now, if you are one, you're highly suspect unless you are working for the government. I mean, I watch status unit squad stories, and there will be some sniper shot where somebody's killed from 800 yards away, and you know, Stabler and Benson will be, there are only six people on the East Coast with the skills to do this. And I'm like, horse crap, man. You haven't seen the hunters in Wyoming.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Yeah, sniping is just basically deer hunting with different targets.
It's basically rocket science, literally. Sorry about that cough. I hit the wrong mute button.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so yeah, this guy, and when I tweeted, or I didn't tweet, I Facebook posted a little Grig
face
article.
Based. You face finger based. Banged on the face base.
I did indeed. And what I linked to Will Grigg article where it's called The Pseudo Courage of Chris Kyle. And it's basically taking down Chris Kyle, especially for this book. And, you know, people say you shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but I think the correct translation is you shouldn't speak untruths of the dead. And so we're trying to search for the truths of Chris Kyle here.
Is that the actual translation of that?
That's what I've heard. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that or where that quote came from, and I don't know the exact etymology or phrasing. But I think either way, regardless
like
of my
better.
Exact knowledge on that, yeah, it works a lot better for practical purposes, at least for our purposes here. And when I posted this Will Grigg article, my statement on the face space was something to the effect of real snipers use Mosins, and they use them in defense. a reference to the famous sniper who Enemy at the Gates was made after. You know, fictionalized and fantastic, but still. These were snipers that were defending their town of Stalingrad, or the town of Stalingrad, from being taken over by Nazis.
So you're praising a commie over an American.
Well, see, that's the thing, is it doesn't matter if you're American, if you're a commie, if you're Iraqi. What matters for the sense of morality and what you're doing when you're using a gun is, are you using it offensively to defend your home or your property or your neighbor's property or your family's property? Or are you part of some elite imperial squad that is invading someplace thousands of miles away from your home and killing people? And it seems to me that that's what Chris Kyle was doing when he was a sniper. And Will Grigg
And we know that with the American rules of engagement, I mean, they'll kill you for doing jumping jacks now. They'll kill you for walking in front of your house with a rifle, which is legal in that country. And it is done in self-defense constantly.
Well, in the real Grigg article, because I haven't read the Chris Kyle autobiography, but apparently the first time he kills somebody is this. He says that I'll quote Chris Kyle. He says, "The only people who were moving were a woman and maybe a child or two nearby. I watched the troops pull up. 10 young proud Marines in uniform got out of their vehicle and gathered for a foot patrol. As the Americans organized, the woman took something from beneath her clothes and yanked at it. She'd set a grenade, and Kyle shot the woman twice." So I don't know, man. I kind of feel like, how do you know it was a grenade? And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But still, if it was a grenade, if you lived, say, in Texas, and your wife was home alone with the kids, and all of a sudden a contingent of 10 Chinese troops or UN troops or Cuban troops show up, and 10 troops just this armored person air carrier carrying assault rifles, and I don't think you'd be well without your means to try to defend yourself if all you had was a grenade or whatever it was. So I don't know. I think you can see from right there that his first kill was against this woman, and I guess it's debatable, but I still feel like you shouldn't have been there, right? This wasn't your home. That woman was in her home.
Yeah, and Ron Paul caused a stir, as he often does, by tweeting about this. He said, and to be clear, what happened was Chris Kyle, the American sniper hero guy, he and a buddy took a returning veteran with PTSD to the range for some, hey, let's hang out and fellowship and be dudes and, you know, like to try to help this guy. And right. The guy, I don't even mean to laugh. It's just so absurd what happened. The guy shot Chris Kyle, which is really scary and effed up.
Is that confirmed yet? I mean, it was alleged last time I saw it, or he was the suspect, but.
I think it's confirmed, but there's no motive or no, they don't understand anything. And, you know, I immediately went to false flag, Manchurian candidate, you know, something to discredit
blurry veterans. Pictures with red arrows. Yeah.
I immediately went to that possibility, but I have no idea. So let's not go there, even though right. I just did.
Yeah, and I really want to get into what happened or didn't happen.
So Ron Paul's tweet,
reactions are.
Ron Paul tweeted, Chris Kyle's death seems to confirm that he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Treating PTSD at a firing range doesn't make sense. I agree with the second part of that. The first part of it is kind of harsh and it's kind of, but he clarified. Now, a lot of times when people make statements that are this incendiary to a lot of people that have some truth in them, they immediately apologize. Like an example I can think of is when...
Well, I think of John Stewart calling Harry Truman a war criminal for incinerating hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians in their homes.
That's accurate.
With atomic bombs. And then John Stewart went back on it and he said, I'm sorry, I really apologize for that.
Yeah, and another one was G. Gordon Liddy, kind of an unlikely hero to a lot of patriots now that he has a talk show on radio. You know, he was like Nixon's right-hand man, head of the FBI under Nixon, and was involved in all kinds of dirty dealings and went to prison, which people like that rarely do, but they had to throw somebody under the bus and not Nixon. So, and you know, to be clear, like everything anybody went to prison for in Watergate is like standard policy on government websites. In it, they admit they do this stuff now, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, people went to jail, Dean, who I forget his name, Halderman, you know, somebody went to jail for wiretapping the opposing party. And it's like, now they hire Frank Luntz's people to like do that by studying traffic patterns on the internet. You know, it's mm-hmm. what people do now all day long. And mm-hmm. allegedly about Frank Luntz. So G. Gordon Liddy said on his radio show a while back, a few years ago, he was talking about Waco and he said, you know, if government agents come to your house, you should shoot them. And they wear body armor, so you should aim for the head. and then he completely retracted it. And, well, didn't completely retract it. He made a kind of self-defense statement. He said, if they come to your house with a warrant, you know, go with them. If they come to your house and knock in your door and throw in poison gas, they're breaking the law, shoot them.
Yeah.
He said that. And... you know, he had to kind of backtrack on that. And Ron Paul didn't really backtrack, which I didn't expect him to do. He explained it better. And I really like what he explained in his second tweet. And he's actually the only person I've ever believed when he says, my condolences and prayer go out to Mr. Kyle's family. Every time a politician says that, I think they're lying. And I genuinely believe in Ron Paul's heart of hearts, he meant that. Mm-hmm. His follow-up tweet was, as a veteran, I certainly recognize that this week's violence and killing of Chris Kyle were tragic and a tragic and sad event. My condolences and prayers go back to Mr. Kyle's family. Unconstitutional and unnecessary wars have endless unintended consequences. As a policy of nonviolence, as Christ preached, would have prevented this and similar tragedies. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I wish that had been his
very
first
beautiful.
Thing. And it was kind of funny. I saw this on Fox. You know, I watch that kind of stuff when I'm eating my oatmeal and like, you know, trying to kill a couple minutes, like DJ listens to Rush Limbaugh when she's on her 6-minute commute. Mm-hmm. I'll turn on the TV and see what's on for pods, you know, for show source, for show prep. And they showed on the screen his second tweet, and it took two screens. They showed one and then went to the second one. And the end of the first one had the word unconstitutional. And I was like, of course, Ron Paul's going to say something about unconstitutionalism. Awesome.
Yeah.
Fox had some other decorated military hero on talking about why Ron Paul's bad and why the troops are good and why we must support the wars and why everyone who does anything for the United States government is a great person.
Yeah.
Except even the statists.
Even his own son took that line. And we'll have more about that coming up in just a little bit.
Worms. Worms.
to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom frickin' Fiends, yo. This is me. This is Nima V, also known as Nima Vidati, or Nima James, as my mom calls me.
Really?
And you are Michael W. Dean, or M-Dub, as I like to call you.
Yeah. I forget where I read it, but somewhere it was some novel where someone was going to court, and they were called by their first, middle, and last name, and it said middle names were invented to let you know when you're really in trouble.
When you're in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, like for, whether it's a mom or a judge, they call you by your full name.
Well,
with
see my mom wouldn't use the last name because I think it reminded her of my dad, which would make her angry. So she would just call me Nima James or just James with that sort of Texas drawl.
I like Nima James. I've never heard you called that. Yeah. I like it.
I had a science teacher in college who also liked to call me Nima James because she thought it was super cute.
It is.
So let's talk
about Ron Ernest Paul.
Yes, with his middle name. Although
Ronald
he's not in trouble.
Ernest Paul. People want him to be in trouble, but he's not to us. He spoke the truth, man. They don't like it when you speak the truth. I mean, Fox, after they denigrated Ron Paul for his tweet, had this guy on who's some kind of war hero who really wasn't very smart. He looked like a corn-fed robot for the state to me. And he was like, you know, I think they need to support the troops more. And I mean, I'm not going to make fun of him for having a Southern accent. There's nothing wrong with having a Southern accent. And it's shorthand. It's media shorthand for I'm smarter than this guy. And I'm not going to say that. It really is. You know, the guy regardless of his accent, he didn't sound very smart. And he was parroting things. And he and the bobbleheaded blonde on Fox were going back and forth in split screen talking about how people used to support the troops. I mean, in World War II, people signed up in mass and went over and defended liberty and defended our rights. And in other wars since. And I'm like, what? In Vietnam? Not a lot of people signed up in Vietnam. And the people that were protesting for Vietnam avoided the draft. So who was that? Romney.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here was Rand Paul's take on it. He goes, Chris Kyle was a hero like all Americans who donned the uniform to defend our country. So Rand Paul
wants to be president, and he thinks he has a chance. He's delusional.
He wants to be president,
and he's
getting it by stabbing his dad and liberty lovers everywhere in the back. I guess it's not a backstab because I don't think he was ever on board with the liberty thing.
I think Ron Paul needs to go over to Rand's house and say, "You need to go to your room." Rand, whatever your middle name is, Paul, you're in trouble.
Ron is too peaceful for that. Ron knows that Rand. Man,
Randall Howard Paul, and you need to go to your room. Well, he's not going to spank him. He could just send him to his room.
I think what Ron will do more than just be disappointed. I think he will just point it in Rand and be like,
"You're cutting in and out." Is somebody streaming?
Really
you're cutting in and out.
Here's why.
You're cutting in and out. Is somebody streaming videos in your house?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Would you like me to check?
Yeah. I'll read a little bit about Rand Paul while you do. Let's see. Electoral history. Let's see. Voting positions. Civil liberties. He opposed the Patriot Act, including warrantless wiretap searches. He also proposed that the TSA be eliminated. That sounds good. That's not his complete...
Nope. Is somebody streaming on your end?
No. I don't have any roommates. I have DJ, and she's at work streaming on a different computer, not streaming.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, is it better now? Check,
yeah.
check.
Yeah, you're right here in the room with me.
Good, good. So yeah, does Rand Paul really think that everybody who's ever worn a uniform is a hero? Like everybody, even people who massacred people in Vietnam,
even war heroes who massacred American vets like Patton and Eisenhower. Yeah.
Or what? Or does Rand Paul think Nadal Hassan, the guy who at Fort Hood killed multiple people? What, like more than it was double digits?
He wore the uniform.
Went on the massacre. He wore the uniform. Rand.
He's no hero.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. He's horrible.
Exactly. This is just so statist, and I hope Rush Limbaugh would call Rand Paul a statist.
He probably would, but
anybody
probably
who wears these uniforms.
He'd probably call him a statist because he wants to legalize marijuana.
Probably. That's how far gone Limbaugh is. I do want to break apart Ron Paul's tweet a little bit, and hopefully you can help me with that, because when I first read it, I was kind of like, huh, what's Ron Paul saying here? And I think people took it the wrong way, because if you take it the right way, I don't see how you could argue. Well, I guess I see how Rand and the
well status- the first tweet didn't really explain it. It explained it to people who understand. The second tweet explained it to people who aren't his followers. And, you know, he tweets to his followers on his Twitter. And
that's
sometimes
you
when you're,
Twitter.
You know,
yeah,
I tweet to my followers on Twitter. I use the word statist and don't have to explain it.
Yeah.
But other people probably read his, more people who aren't his followers probably read him than read me. So,
When he says that he who lives by the sword dies by the sword, which I think he's quoting Jesus.
Yeah.
I think what he's really saying is those who get their sustenance through violence will die that way. And I think that's what Jesus meant too. I don't think Jesus meant don't defend yourself and don't carry a weapon, because Jesus also said, you know, sell your coat when going into the wilderness, i.e. when you're facing danger, sell your coat to buy a sword, you know, when you're facing danger, when you're going into the wilderness. But what he says here is he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. And what that just struck me as was that thing we say about the market means versus the voluntary means. If you're living by the sword, you're living by the political means, by the coercive means. You're using the sword to get your sustenance. And if that happens, eventually somebody's going to defend themselves or somebody's going to fight back, and that's how you'll meet your end. And that's what I really think Jesus and Ron Paul meant.
See, I think that unfortunately most people who live by the sword don't die by the sword, and usually have no consequences in their own lives because of it. And I think that it was a kind of, I don't know if inappropriate is the right word for the first tweet, but inaccurate, because I think, you know, unless this was a Manchurian candidate, like this kid was brainwashed and programmed. Otherwise, it really had nothing to do with what this guy did for a living, probably. It was just a crazy guy who, you know, I really agree with treating PTSD at a gun range is not a good idea. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I wouldn't say to someone, oh, you're mentally unstable, depressed, angry, and having flashbacks and really can't deal with your life. Let's go to the gun range. You'll feel better.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess you're right. But the thing is, we don't know. And Ron Paul probably didn't know either. He wasn't there. He doesn't know the exact circumstances. So you're probably right that
there wasn't
correlation or causation between.
Yeah, I doubt this kid said, oh, Chris Kyle, I read your book, you horrible bastard. I'm going to kill you. I doubt it was anything like that.
Right. You know. But again, it's Jesus and it's theology here. So what he's getting at is basically it's a dharmic or a karmic kind of thing. Like if you end up killing people unjustly, then, you know, it could be likely that the same will happen to you.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. I unlike Dr. Paul, I don't believe in a man with a long beard in the sky who controls the puppet strings of destiny.
Right.
I think I see more cause and effect on the earth from the earth.
Right.
And
but
I
there's
don't
also
really
the whole
see
thing
one
that
here.
When you're violent to people, you don't get what you want, right? When you use violence to get what you want in your social lives or in your personal life, the people you use violence against cut you out of their lives. You know, you're yelling at them and you're using violence to get them to do something, to get them to meet your expectations. And what they end up doing is leaving you and talking to you again because you're a violent person. And so I think in your own personal life at work too, you know, you don't use violence because you will, as Stefan Molyneux says, get the opposite, achieve the opposite ends. Or when the government does something like use violence to as a war on poverty, you know, they have this war on poverty and then poverty increases because they're using violent means to achieve their goals.
I have a prediction about violence. I think the next Super Bowl, the halftime show will be DHS throwing gun owners to lions.
I don't know, man. I think there's too much crossover with the gun lovers and the football audience. Although I guess Super Bowl is a lot different because the Super Bowl is everybody watches it.
Well, they did TSA style pat downs getting into the Super Bowl this year, done by the TSA, I believe.
I thought they've been doing that for a while, though.
And there was a Canadian who traveled to go to the Super Bowl and couldn't get into America because he was busted with a joint in America 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. Did they do drone flyovers? See, that I would buy as happening now or next year.
Like,
instead
like
of at the
Blue
Obama
Angels.
Coronation.
Yeah.
But yeah, instead of the Blue Angels, have a bunch of Predator and Reaper drones flying over.
Well, they wouldn't be able to fly at the heights they fly. You wouldn't see them, but I guess they could kind of hover. Like they do in Beavis and Butthead and
I mean, they have
American
to land
Dad.
And take off. They can operate at that height because they land and take off. They don't just live in the sky forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
We'll have more in hour two of Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean coming up next.
Certainly.
Yo.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com. And now, it's time for Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. And here they are, Nima V and Michael Dean.
This is Michael Dean. How you doing, Nima Vidavi?
I'm doing well, Michael. This is hour two of the Freedom Fiends show.
Hour two of two. And the hours are self-contained because some radio stations will only play 1 hour or the other. And we like them self-contained, but kind of tied together. So we were probably talking about Rush Limbaugh in passing and what a statist he is, who calls people statists at some point. But
I want to point out how disappointing your kids can be and how you shouldn't expect them to be like you because of Rand Paul.
Rand Paul, disappointing Ron Paul. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I want to point out that that intro did have DJ talking in it, but when we make separate ones for each hour, it won't. It'll be that same music coming in. But, you know, the Freedom Fiends are a learning hospital, and we taught you today how to do that if you want to go back and listen to the first hour.
We're also process-oriented. We're letting you in on our process of speaking about freedom and making a radio show / podcast.
Yep. And I want to talk about reciprocal pilferage, which I think is a great term for government, but it's actually a biological term.
Yes. And you found this looking up hoarding on Wikipedia. Why were you looking up hoarding on Wikipedia?
I don't know, man. I fall down wormholes. I don't know how I ended up here. I think I was talking to DJ about squirrels and the different types of squirrels. We were looking out the window at squirrels, as old people like us often do.
Right.
And
because saving is natural, you know, saving isn't this the Keynesians would have you believe that it's bad for everybody and bad for society and bad for nature and your spirit animals. But in real life, squirrels, they hoard and they save acorns and nuts so they can eat them later.
Well, there's a fable that used to be told to children as kind of a teaching exercise called the ant and the grasshopper. Did you ever hear that one? It's really good. It's basically teaching you to work hard and plan instead of lie in the sun and enjoy things and then starve when winter comes, which is a great analogy for life. And my dad, Jack Dean, we've had him on the show before. He used to tell me that for a bedtime story. And it's a good little parable to tell young people. And animals do this. You know, animals will bury nuts. They'll bury seeds all over the neighborhood to find later. And they know how to find them.
Right.
But there is something called pilferage, which is related to hoarding behavior in animals. Pilferage is where animals of the same species or a different species will dig up the other animal's stuff. And they will they'll defend for this, but they can't be everywhere all the time. They don't have drones. Right. They don't have an army. So they don't have landmines. So they need to, you know, it's like something like 30% of what they cache is lost to pilferage. Mm-hmm. But there's a related phenomenon of reciprocal pilferage, which is where one species will pilfer the other species' cache, and then the other species will, in return, follow that one and pilfer its stash. And reciprocal pilferage, it kind of sounds like a really good analogy for government. Tell me why.
Yeah. Well, you tell me why. You're making the argument.
I always say that. I always say that. But but you and I are of such a like mind on so many topics that I think I can pass it off to you, and you should be able to make an argument for it.
Well, I don't know if I buy it 100% right now. Let me read out loud the wiki definition of reciprocal pilferage, and then we'll discuss. Because I'm not 100% convinced that this is a good analogy for how the government and people interact. So this is the wiki definition. It has been observed that members of certain species, such as rodents and chickadees, act as both hoarder and pilferer. In other words, pilfering can be reciprocal and thus tolerable. Although this kind of food caching system seems cooperative, it has been suggested that it is actually driven by the selfish interests of the individual. Huh. Okay.
How is that not an analogy for the Republicans and the Democrats?
Well, you're right. It's an analogy. Okay, I see it now. It's definitely a good – it's analogous to the way statists think of the way the state really works. But just like in the last sentence here, it seems cooperative, but I actually think it is driven by the selfish interest of the individual.
Yeah.
So it's more to me indicative of the way the state really works rather than it being cooperative, like to have you believe. Because people say, well, you know, I pay taxes, but then I get this stuff in return. You know, they steal money from me every year through my income tax, but I get to steal money for my farm subsidies, and I get to steal money for my welfare and for my roads. So we all steal from each other, and then it's cooperative. But really what's happening is different individuals are actually the ones making the decisions. So they're stealing as much as they can for their own self-interest, and you are doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, think about any bill that one party really likes and the other party really hates, but it gets passed because the party that loves the bill puts in something for the party that hates it that they don't they personally don't like.
Right.
You know, like I mean, think of examples. There's a million examples.
Well, you know, I just think of the welfare state, right? I mean, in all of these appropriation bills for defense spending, you know, there'll be pretty police state things that some of the civil liberties minded Democrats might scoff at, but those Democrats have, you know, factories and military bases and various things in their district that get funded if they vote for this bill. So they can't go back to their constituents and say, sorry, the base closed down, or sorry, this factory closed down because I didn't vote for this. So they vote for the horrible police state measures so that they can steal money for their district.
Exactly. And it's like one kind of rodent doing something for another kind of rodent to reciprocally pilfer.
Here's my question, though. So if this happens in nature, could somebody make the argument then that, well, you know, reciprocal pilferage happens in nature, so it's natural. It's natural law to have a government stealing from you and you steal back from them. What would you say to that? How would you respond to that?
I would say that humans have free will and have a morality that animals don't have. Humans have a requirement not to. The thing that makes us human is the ability to make decisions based on logic and think ahead to the future. I don't know, though. I mean, this is an argument for the animals are thinking ahead to the future.
Right.
It's really difficult. And, you know, I would kind of go to Paul Bonneau's expert, you know, to agree with you, to play devil's advocate myself. I would go to Paul Bonneau's belief that they're really – aren't a such thing as – there definitely aren't rights you create by putting on paper, and there aren't even – he takes it one step further of there aren't even natural rights. There's only the rights you can defend to keep.
Yeah, and I guess this is a good example of that. Although to me, rights is still useful for saying what you're in the right to do as opposed to what would be wrong to do. But I think here in nature, if the rodent want the chickadee to pilfer its hoard, the rodent would defend it, and the rodent would be right to do so. So I think that that's the real disconnect here, is that it should be considered right amongst us, amongst people and society and in our literature and in our writings and in our news telling. It should be right if you defend your hoard from any comers, from all takers, including the government. And I guess that's what's unnatural to me, is the government doesn't recognize what it does as pilfering. And the media and society and art doesn't recognize what the government does as pilfering. So they would think it would be wrong for you to defend your hoard from the government, when in actuality it's right. So that's the unnatural thing, is the people who don't see it for what it really is and don't consider you right for defending your hoard.
Yes, and you mentioned our literature. The Freedom Fiends have a lot of literature. We have this podcast. We have movies. They're freely available. We have music. You can buy them, or if it's your first time at the Fiends, they're available free. By reading our literature and listening to other members of the Fiends share their experience, you can join what is called the Fiends and pass it on to others. I don't know, man. I just saw some wording. I heard some wording that you didn't even hear creep into your vocabulary. You said our literature.
Did I?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, what I meant, though, what I was referring to was society as a whole's literature, because I was saying the literature fails to see it as right to defend your hoard against the government. So I'm talking about that kind of literature, I'm talking about things like
state literature.
The Wall Street Journal, literature.
Fox
Lord
News,
of the Flies,
CNN.
Fox News. Yeah.
Lord of the Flies.
All the things out there that tell you that you need to let some people pilfer from you. You need to.
I want to get
into.
If
you don't let these people pilfer from you, then society will collapse.
I want to get into Lord of the Flies. I want to get into Lord of the Flies. It's good, and we should talk about it. But I do want to say that you kind of baffled me and threw a curve at me, and I appreciate it. But it's really the first time in 2 years of doing this show that I haven't really had an answer. Because you basically made the devil's advocate statist argument that probably liberals would make more than conservatives. Conservatives don't really buy it happens in nature, because when you tell them, well, there is homosexuality among animals in nature, they're like, yeah, but those are animals and they're the beasts and we're the evolved ones. And I was kind of saying they're the beasts and we're the evolved ones and that's why we're different. But, you know, liberals would definitely say, well, animals do it. It's natural to steal. But I guess my counter to that would be animals don't organize the way people do, which is really where the immorality becomes really institutionalized and heavy and immutable and deadly. You know, animals don't have drones. They don't have signing statements where one animal can kill another animal on the other side of the globe by signing something.
What you're really getting at, and where I would take that, though, is the key difference isn't the organization, but what causes the organization. And I would say that is human beings' vastly different ability to communicate, which is so much more complex than any other species has. I mean, yeah, squirrels can click and they can communicate, and dolphins and whales can have songs and things that catch on, you know, all around the world. And it's really amazing. But humans can preserve things for the future. Humans can have propaganda. Humans can have ways of speaking and ways of having certain people speak that will change whole swaths of populations' behavior just from what the words say and just from what the culture says and accepts as right or wrong. So I think that's the difference.
Yeah. I mean, the closest thing that animals have to an army is maybe a wolf pack attacking a bison, or, you know, a mob of ants attacking a dying insect and carrying it into their nest to eat. But
right. But you will never have a wolf talking to
other
and
wolves.
Convincing the deer that it must sacrifice itself for the good of the forest. You will never
there
have
you go.
That.
There
but you
go.
will have human predators. You will have people in government who are the sociopathic human predators telling you that you should sacrifice your well-being for the good of our federal family.
And we'll have more on the balance of humans and nature and the differences and similarities when we come back from selling some things, which animals also don't do. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Yeah.
Nima.
It's the Freedom Fiends.
It's back those once fiends.
Again. Ah, those dirty, dirty fiends.
Horrible.
What?
Horrible.
What is a fiend? I had my aunt ask me yesterday. What is a fiend?
What'd you tell her?
I told her it's like a fiend, but we say fiend, and she goes, well, why would you do that? And I said, fiend is an archaic pronunciation. Nobody says fiend anymore. Anytime somebody refers to that concept, at least people under the age of 30, they always say fiend. So we're ahead of the game.
I don't know that I'd say it's an archaic pronunciation.
That's because you're over the age of 30.
I know. I mean, that's, you know, saying whiff instead of wife is an archaic pronunciation.
Although it's coming back into style. It's what I call my whiff.
Yeah. there you go. I guess it's an accepted...
alternative
slang, yeah, slang kind of. You know, language is fluid, and a common saying that I like is a language is a dialect with an army, which basically means you know, people speak in whatever dialect they want, but then people point guns at people and say we're going to do it this way, and that's right. That's a language. So yeah, fiends is dialectical arguments for saying fiend.
Right. But I guess to continue off of our last discussion, and also here, since we're talking about language, is to me that's also a big difference, and I think it's exemplified by the way that the state and different parts of society can twist words and concepts to make people do things that are completely antithetical to their own self-interest or the nature of themselves. You know... You do have deception in the animal world. Like, you have those fish with the little light bulb looking things on their head to attract the other fish, and the other fish is coming up to it like, oh, a light, yay, and then it gets eaten. The state's kind of like that, but so much deeper on such a bigger level because...
No, the state's version of that is finding the dumbest guy at the mosque and saying, why don't you blow things up? And he's like, I don't really think I should. And they say, No, you should. We'll give you a bomb. I don't think I should. Come on, man. All the cool kids are doing it. Okay.
Click, click. Yeah, and then they arrest him.
Yeah.
And then it's on the news everywhere. But, yeah, man, it seems to me like that's it. And one of the things that I think is a good example that's new and recent is, have you seen this Department of Justice memo going around? Basically re-justifying. I mean, I kind of felt like the Obama administration already felt that they could kill American citizens with drones. I mean, obviously, because they have done it twice at least now. But they have a new memo out there that basically reinforces this. And it's been kind of, you know, getting mainstream news coverage. And one of the things is they say that it has to be an imminent threat, the person that they kill. But their definition of imminent is really loose. And here's
the definition. The Department of Justice, that name is becoming Orwellian without them having to change it.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Because they're becoming the Department of Injustice, but they can keep the name Department of Justice and just be Orwellian.
Yeah. Well, according to newser.com, not loser, but newser. I don't know why they picked that name, but here's
because this. Frank Luntz told him it sounded hip and would appeal to the face space people.
Maybe
the finger taggers on the face space.
But in the memo, here's one of the paragraphs. It's kind of chilling. It says, the condition that an operational leader present present an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States does not require the United States to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons and interests will take place in the immediate future.
That's a license to kill.
It literally is. Yeah. Yeah. It's an imminent threat does not have to be imminent or immediate.
Or a threat.
Or a threat. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. George Orwell is laughing in his grave.
Is he laughing or is he crying? I don't know. What was his personality like?
I don't know.
Would he laugh it off like I do, like the Dr. Hibbert laugh, like to keep from going insane or
maybe.
What, man?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, can you believe that? And this is, like you say, in multiple casts, you know, they don't even hide these kinds of things anymore. This isn't something that's top secret CIA documents or internal things that never see the light of day. This is stuff that they're kind of proud of.
Yeah, and this is the kind of stuff that things like this happened in the Vietnam War, but they were secrets and people won Pulitzer Prizes for exposing them. Or won journalistic prizes for exposing them.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you expose, no, you don't even have to expose them, but now you talk about them and you say, hey, this is insane. And people call you, a conspiracy theorist or, well, you just are some kind of tinfoil hat or you hate the government and you're the terrorist. You know, if you're not a terrorist, if this scares you, well, you must be a terrorist because this is only meant to kill terrorists.
Yeah,
it's just it's mind-boggling, but I guess that's how far along this current incarnation of the state, of the American state, has come along this path to being completely openly violent and tyrannical.
And you know, Newser.com kind of gets it right by calling this news, but then a related article is about a New Jersey Catholic school telling girls not to curse, but not saying that to boys. That's not really news to me, and that's kind of like, I don't care. That should be the –
That's a Catholic school, man.
Yeah,
if
man.
You don't like it, take your kids out of the damn school.
Yeah.
They're not forced to go there, and yeah, it's wrong. Well, I guess it could be news, but on a local level to me, like if you live in that area and it would be an option for you, it would be important to know that so you could avoid it or send your kids there because you like it.
Well, you know, an interesting thing happening with drone strikes right now, speaking of how reciprocal pilferage works and how redefining what the definition of killing is, Republican Party platform advocates regulation of drone surveillance. So, you know, basically this thing that the George Bush people invented, now that Obama's got his finger on it, the Republicans are trying to ban it. And where are all of the anti-war Democrats, man? Where'd they go? I mean, there's two. There's Cindy Sheehan and there's, who's that congressman that sometimes agrees with Ron Paul on a few things?
Dennis Kucinich.
That's out or on his way out.
It was Dennis Kucinich, and Alan Grayson used to be with Ron Paul on the Fed, but he got voted out.
He got a big dump truck full of money. He got probably offered, silver or lead in some form.
I think he's still anti-Fed. He just, the voters were like, what? Free money, get rid of it? No, you're crazy. So
yeah,
he did not win re-election.
Yeah.
I think he tried again, and he failed again. So,
fail.
But yeah, man.
Fail.
Screw the state. Screw
you know,
it.
We
so
talk
square.
A lot about how the United States has killed two American citizens with drones, Alalaki and his son, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
There were actually three. There was actually an American citizen standing next to Alalaki when he was killed. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if he was a citizen. I thought he was a resident. He was, like, from Brooklyn or something. He was, like, young and hip and had his own, like, YouTube page and rap songs.
Raps? Did he? He's a rapper?
Yeah, I think so. Or wow. He was into that. Maybe he was a tagger. He did some kind of cool
thing. We'll have more after we go sell some stuff.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio.
Not your dad's talk radio, and that's a good thing.
Hell yeah, it is.
We're going to make talk radio cool, man. Young people don't listen to talk radio. Well, except for Free Talk Live and Alex Jones, but...
But do they listen to it on the radio?
I think I listen on the internets.
You know, I guess that's a good thing, though, because sometimes... People with smartphones, their phone dies and they left their charger at home, so they're forced to actually turn on that thing called the radio in their car when they're driving. This happens to me sometimes.
Don't diss radio and don't make it sound like it's just for old people, because
no,
we're going to be on it and a lot
of
people listen to it.
I'm making that case that, yeah, even people like me who are tied to their phones and are listening to podcasts whenever they're listening to talking or listening to their phones whenever they're listening to music, and if it runs through their car stereo, it runs with an eighth-inch stereo male-to-male cable. You know, sometimes your phone doesn't work. Sometimes you run out of content, and sometimes you want to open yourself up to the universe that is radio.
And, you know, there's a thing about radio to where – people will listen to talk radio they hate just to not have silence in the car. DJ does that.
Yes.
DJ would never listen to a podcast or streaming audio on the internet she hated. You know, like when you're home, when you're in your environment, you have more options. When you're in a car, you pretty much don't have any options, and you have talk radio, and that's it. So that's how a lot of people find stuff, too. I mean, a lot of people got turned on to Alex Jones and the idea that not everything you're told by the government is true because he's on radio, and they turned on their car radio somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So radio is good, and that'll be really interesting.
Radio's magical.
Would have never, ever, ever, ever clicked on the Freedom Fiends or even understood what a fiend was might get to hear some education, inoculation against indoctrination. And that's a very, very good thing.
Yeah. So we were talking about Ali Al-Alaqwa, Anwar Al-Awlaki, who was killed by a drone. And his son was later killed by a drone. And his son wasn't into his politics. He wasn't telling people to kill people.
He was a 16-year-old kid that was just looking for his dad because he missed his dad, and he was killed in a separate strike.
Yeah, but Al-Awlaki wasn't the only American killed in the first strike of those two. Standing next to him was Samir Khan, who is the Pakistani-American editor of Inspire magazine, which is a magazine for terrorists. He wrote an article called Make a Bomb in the Kitchen of Your Mom. It's all effed up and horrible, and I don't like it, but I do like the name Inspire magazine. It sounds like if Oprah had a magazine for terrorists, it would be called Inspire magazine.
Well, if she just had a I guess she does have a magazine, but it doesn't even say anything about Inspire terrorism. It's just Inspire. So yeah, it's very
it sounds very Oprah.
Yeah, or something you would see like in the lobby of a hotel or a upscale condo place, you know, just sitting on the coffee table
on a plane behind the Sky Mall catalog.
That is what it sounds like. It sounds like one of the magazines, like the Delta magazine or the US Airlines magazine.
Or something published by American religious people. I guess it was a religious magazine.
Like Watchtower.
In some twisted way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, let's see, they didn't really have any dirt on him as actually having done any actions.
The point is, the president of the United States can now kill anybody without a trial, and that's unconstitutional. And when they can do that to really bad people like these guys, it's a slippery slope to they can do it to you because you have guns and vote for Ron Paul.
Well, here's the other thing, man.
Because they've already declared that that's indicative of terrorism. DHS has released guidelines that basically say you should, you know, local authorities should keep an eye on Ron Paul voters and any third party voters and people who talk about agorism and voluntarism and, you know, libertarianism.
Right. And they kind of ease the populace into this by doing it first to people who seem very foreign and different. But Samir Khan, if you really look at him, he wasn't that foreign and different. Yeah, he was brown, but he went to W. Tresper Clark High School, you know, in Westbury, New York. He wrote for the school newspaper in his high school.
Dude, he looks like you.
Yeah.
He was a cheerleader.
He was a cheerleader and an active member of the Glee Club, according to Wikipedia. So he was just a normal brown dude participating in the school clubs in an American high school, and he was drone bombed to death.
Wow.
Yeah, it's horrible to do things like write these blog posts about how to make a bomb in the kitchen of your mom. I guess, you know, but how is that any different from punk kids who, you know, used to pass around the anarchist cookbook or whatever,
or the United States Army. You know, the United States Army has publications that are buyable by the public on how to kill people. You know, the United States has field manuals on how to shoot people. Yeah. They have articles on how to do hand-to-hand combat, on how to make booby traps. I see him for sale at gun shows all the time, which I'm sure there's some congressman who wants to pass a law against that. But hey, it's the United States government printing office makes them.
Right. Yeah. And so I guess the thing is, what happened to freaking free speech and due process? And how can you pretend to, how can you pretend that the Constitution will stop the government? Because it obviously didn't. Because in this case, the dude wasn't criminal or he didn't perpetrate anything like an actual crime. It was all just free speech, stuff that would be covered by the First Amendment. And there was no kind of trial or anything like that. It was completely extrajudicial. A Hellfire missile just fell on him one day.
You know, tying into the DHS deciding that people are terrorists because of this or that, previous on today's show, we were talking about animal hoarding and animal pilfering of hoarding and how it differs from humans in what they do that's theft. I think that a really big way is something I could point out is the United States government, the DHS, also issues articles that say if people are hoarding, they might be terrorists.
So
if people are acting like nature, they might be terrorists. Because we know that the government likes to denature things from alcohol to everything. They don't like nature and they want to remove nature.
Right. Wait till FEMA gets control of the drones, right? Then when there's a hurricane and you're out helping people or you're price gouging, right? They'll drone you for selling water bottles to people for $10 a bottle. You know, just imagine all of the horrible
things. I don't
want
to wait for that. That sounds
like, I don't either,
that expression. Just wait for that. No. Well, not that I'm going to go anywhere or die or anything, hopefully, but
yeah.
I don't want to just wait for that.
Yeah. I guess that's a silly expression because I don't want to wait to start bitching about it already.
Drones are so statist.
Can you say bitching about that on radio?
I wouldn't. You know, I don't think we've talked about this before. Is I read a really good guideline for what you can say on the radio. If you have to wonder about it, you probably shouldn't say it on the radio.
There are so few things that I wonder about, though.
You don't wonder enough. I'll do the wondering for both of us.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you were wondering, you know, why you seem to be better so far at curbing your enthusiasm for cussing. Whereas I used to be on TV live all the time and never cussed or even misspoke anything that was dangerous in that sense or offensive. And I guess my answer would be it's because when I was on Stato TV, you know, I was doing a job. I was a spokesman, a mouthpiece for that station. You know, when I'm on Freedom Fiends, part of the beauty of it is I'm me And me personally, Nima Vidati, you know, I cuss. I tend to say some cuss words.
Speaking of radio, the other day I fell down some wormholes on the internet listening to Arabic radio and Muslim radio. Huh. On TuneIn.com, and you can also listen to the Fiends on there, but it's a worldwide streaming site. Go on there and search Arabic radio. You might want to do this through your VPN because they all have the squiggly writing and you can't see what the name of, you know, it might be Top Hits of Lebanon or it might be the show called Make a Bomb in the Kitchen of Your Mom. You don't know. But not to sound culturalist, but their radio sounds like our radio. It has the same production values. It has, you know, bumps, people talking over other things, people, you know, an ad with a couple yammering back and forth at each other. I don't know if it's culturist, though, because America did invent commercial radio.
Maybe it's what works, right? It's like music. That's the natural law of what ears want to hear when they're listening to.
I don't know, because I don't know that radio is always what your ears want to hear, you know, the standard format. I mean, they even have, like, it sounded like the Morning Zoo Crew with Ahmed and Abar, you know, yammering back and forth in Arabic. And and I don't like the Morning Zoo Crew, and it's not what my ears want to hear. But interestingly,
but it is for some people, though.
Yeah. Interestingly, the Lebanon Top 20 has a 20-year-old Bob Seger song, Running Against the Wind. Did they just get American music there or something? And they followed Bob Seger by an oil prices and precious metal price report. Like, here's how much closer we are to getting off American petrodollars. There were no pork belly prices for some reason in their in their report. So we'll have more after we sell some things for petro pork dollars.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends.
Yo, it's Freedom Fiends.
Yo.
Well, before we broke, can we say that, before we broke?
Sure.
Before we sold things.
Yeah.
You were talking about, what was the song?
Arab Radio. Oh, Running Against the Wind by Bob Seger.
It's in the
Lebanese Top 20 somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always hated the, did they just get that? Because that doesn't work anymore. Like, maybe that worked when to get something you had to have vinyl or some kind of physical media.
Yeah, they've had the internet for a while.
Yeah, man.
Although they might have just gotten the legal right to do radio like that.
Ah, see, that could be it, and that's what I was going to say, is maybe they just now, the IP was released to them, or other various...
Not the IP, probably the will allow you to do this without throwing you in a cage and cutting your ears off for playing music, Western music.
Yeah, that can happen too. In fact, in Iran, in one of my favorite books I've been quoting lately, the travelogue from Iran, Iranian rappers, Persian porn, he's got these really great anecdotes where he's saying, you know, Chris DeBerg is apparently amazingly popular in Iran. The guy who sings, I guess, Lady in Red.
I don't even know who that is.
He's an Irish crooner, Chris DeBerg. An Argentinian-born British-Irish songwriter, most famous for the love song Lady in Red. I'm not going to try to sing it. You know the song, though. Should I play
it? Well, that's an old song. He didn't write it. Or is he an old singer?
He's an old singer.
That's like Engelbert Humperdinck age song from my childhood.
And not only that, not only is he really popular, because he's one of the few Western singers that is allowed by the statist government in Iran. The other is a band from Germany called Modern Talking.
Well, yeah, because they have some central scrutinizer board that has to listen to each song and decide whether it's allowable to the right. people or not. It's very Soviet. Right.
Exactly. And because Modern Talking has a line where they – I don't even know if it's an ironic line, but they have some line about how there's only one God. And since that's one of the tenets of Islam – they're a band that's allowed by the state in Iran.
Even so, if the Modern Talk song was talking about a different god.
Right, right.
Although exactly. it's all the same god, really, if there's a god, probably.
Right. And so I guess the point is, and there are people that listen to things that aren't allowed, obviously.
And the god I think the god doesn't want people to kill people for their religion, whether, you know, whether it's Ali yeah. Akbar or, you know, the people on Fox News talking about supporting the troops. I think it's all kind of wonky.
Yeah,
using religion
exactly.
for that stuff.
Well, like you said in your interview with the anarcho-capitalist soccer mom, not to be confused with the anarchist soccer mom.
Yeah.
Who's not an anarchist. Jesus was, in fact, an anarchist. And, you know, so if you're into Jesus, you shouldn't be into supporting the government, which kills people all the time in violent and horrible ways.
And if you're into Jesus, you should also remember and constantly remember that Jesus was killed by the government with due process by soldiers and cops that were just following orders.
Just following orders, man. Yeah, exactly. I wonder what if there is some kind of not rapture, because I don't think the Bible supports that. But in the end times or whatever, when you're sitting there before judgment, you think the people that killed Jesus will try to use that Nuremberg defense? Hey, Jesus, I was just following orders.
Yeah, and I think it'll work about as well as the Nuremberg defense worked. They strung those people up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
rightfully man. So.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Yeah, my point is that sometimes in some countries on the state approved things, especially in the Middle East, you might have these old acts or acts that you might be like, well, why are they popular? This German pop band, why are they so popular in Iran? And they're popular, I guess I would say they're most popular in polite society amongst the old people that are dependent among the state and establishment to keep their jobs. They have to have the approval. Whereas young people, they will blast Eminem or whatever, but they will do it, you know, in their car on the freeway or somewhere where people won't be able to hear them, and they probably won't talk about it with the elders in society.
Who was it that called Arabic writing squiggly writing?
It was Job in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
He finds a contract that George Sr. had with Saddam Hussein, and he goes, Michael, I found the contract, one half in English, one half in squiggles.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dad is in prison for the contract where he's basically just doing what the government does, which is trading with whoever it wants to.
Well, doing what anybody should be able to do.
But, you know, some of the Arabic radio squiggly titled radio shows that I couldn't understand sounded to me like the Rush Limbaugh of Syria or something. I mean, it was like some guy just really reminded me of Rush Limbaugh. I'm imagining it's probably someone conservative in their religion and religious. You know, Americans might say terrorist or something. I don't know. What are you saying? I had no idea.
Well, isn't that the funny thing, though, is that the conservatives in America, they say the people that they would be most similar to in the Middle East are the people that they are, right? The conservatives in the Middle East are the ones who are like, God is everything. The state should be, you know, an Islamic state. And those are the people that conservatives in America hate. And they think that they hate the Sharia law or their concept of it.
You know, I don't really like Sacha Baron Cohen. What's his name?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, Baron Cohen.
Barack.
And I really didn't like that movie, The Dictator, the clips I saw of it. But I really liked an interview he did as the dictator, where he's playing a third world Middle Eastern dictator who's surrounded by two hot young ladies with assault rifles as his bodyguards. And, you know, he was in his full military outfit of, you know, I've given myself these medals and I run the country. And he was doing an interview somewhere promoting that movie as the dictator. And someone was like, you know, what do you think of, who have you met in America? Do you know any Americans? And he's like, oh yes, today I had lunch with Mike Huckabee. And this was like during the presidential Republican primaries. He said, nice. I really like Mike Huckabee. He is a very good man, but But I don't agree with his politics. Too liberal.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, in Borat, he actually does this thing where he goes and speaks in front of a rodeo and he's going to sing the national anthem. But before that, he says some words and he goes, "I support your warlord George W. Bush's war of terror."
And they cheer him.
Like, they all cheer him and clap. And "I hope you will crush the mothers and children of all your enemies." Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he decimates the national anthem and gets he sings his national. What does he do? He gets booed.
Oh, it's great. He goes. "Now I will sing the Kazaki national anthem to the tune of your national anthem."
Yeah, and he gets booed. But yeah. It's really telling to me that he gets cheered for saying, "And I hope you know to hear the lamentations of their babies, basically of their mothers."
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's pretty horrid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what Fox News is 24/7, man, is, yeah, kill damn brown people. It's good. And I saw that today in their response to Ron Paul. It was kind of like, you know how we're convinced that the Patriot Act was written 20 years earlier and they were just waiting, whether they did 9/11 or not, it was a crisis they wouldn't let go to waste and they already had it mm-hmm. written. I really feel like this piece they did today on Support the Troops was already written and they just used Ron Paul's tweet as an excuse to roll it out.
To go into action.
Because it didn't really click, you know? It didn't connect. Mm. It was kind of like one of those what are the segues, the talk radio guy, the football guy, Fox News guy, Hannity. Yeah, it was like a Hannity segue. Like he wrote the segue or something. Right. He's like, "Ron Paul talked about the troops. Now, if you want to support the troops, here's one of the troops." I'm sorry, they didn't have Southern accents. I got to stop doing that, especially since we're going to be on radio. And that is shorthand for "I'm smarter than them." And I don't like doing that because there are some damn smart people from the South.
Yeah, man. Screw you, Northerners.
I can't think of any offhand, but I think there are.
What about me?
Oh yeah, you're born in Utah, man, aren't you?
Yeah, but I grew up in Texas, which I guess is different from Alabama or something. But it's closer to Alabama than it is to New York.
Texas is kind of its own thing. It's the South, but it thinks it's better than the South. How's that? Is that accurate? Yeah,
that's accurate. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah,
it thinks it's better than everything else.
It really does,
especially D.C., which is one of the good things about Texas. I mean, I guess I don't like that we still have allegiance to
you have state nationalism, but nationalism is generally preferable to national nationalism. It's more tolerable and gives you a little more wiggle room.
I agree.
And especially if it's a state that allows you to conceal carry a gun without a permit when you're in your car or walking to or from your car.
Walking to or from your car.
Which is kind of interesting.
I knew the car thing, which is why I was never worried. I do have
Well, how are you going to get your gun from your car into your car? You know, you're going to carry it in a locked little hand case or something?
Which it's important that they actually foresaw that problem and somehow wrote it into the law.
Yeah, and they call it like a fair passage or easy passage law. Safe passage.
Right.
So
that's
the end of the Freedom Fiends
already?
For the day.
Okay.
It went quickly, and we'll be back next week with more wonders of the fiends.
Fiends.
Fiends. Fiends.